This morning we're thinking about patience and kindness and goodness and how the Father wants us to develop those characteristics within our very lives, that we are people who are patient and are kind and are good. But let me just remind you what that really means. The dictionary definitions these are, so I'm not making these up. But the dictionary says that patience is self-restraint, which does not hastily retaliate against wrong. Patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. Patience is an attitude which enables a person to remain steadfast, to persevere during times of pressure, pain, and persecution. Patience. I wonder, would you call yourself a patient person? I wonder, how do you... See, it sounds good, doesn't it, all those things? But it's not easy to exercise, is it? I mean, I wonder how you deal with delays. I wonder what happens when that train is late again or doesn't turn up at all. I wonder how you deal with irritating people. I mean, here, of course, you have no problem because there is not such a thing here, is there? But I wonder how you deal with people who cut you up in their car. I wonder how you deal with people who jump in front of you in the queue. And they're just rude. Do you know, one of our most embarrassing incidents in that kind of example, I was with, this is Kate's family, nothing to do with my family. and there was eight of us, and we were away. We went for a long weekend in Verona many years ago now. And we were staying, it was a beautiful place, Verona, if you haven't been there. And we were staying in a hotel outside of Verona, because Verona is actually quite expensive. And it took about 20 minutes to get into Verona. But this hotel we were staying, they organized a little minibus to do it. On the hour, every hour, it would drop you into the town. And then the following hour, it would pick you up and take you back. So it was kind of, you know, they told you exactly where they were going to drop you and where they'd pick you up. So the eight of us, we went on this little minibus. And we enjoyed a beautiful day in Verona. Stunning, really enjoyed it. On the early evening, we waited at the little bus stop where we were going to get picked up. And we were the first there. And we were standing right at the very big front of the bus stop. And we're British, so we were queuing orderly. And we were there about 20 minutes earlier. So people started to come behind us. There were eight of us. They started to come behind us. And there was a mixture of different nationalities, but mainly American and Italian. And about 25 minutes later, the little bus pulled up. But it pulled up at the end, the wrong end of our queue. And all these people who'd literally only just turned up jumped onto the bus. Now, one of our members, and it wasn't me and it wasn't Kay, but one of our members found that very irritating. Extremely irritating. And he decided to tell them exactly what he thought. Now, bearing in mind he wasn't a Christian. And, you know, I kind of had some sympathy as he started out what he was saying. And he just began to explain rather heatedly that he thought they were very rude and that they should all get off the bus and that they should let us get on, especially because we had an old man with us, which was true. Now, they didn't seem to agree with that. So he decided to tell them even stronger how he felt about this. To such an extent that he completely lost it and started effing and blinding and calling them all kinds of things. Well, the driver quickly shut the door and zoomed off. And you could think, wow. And we had to wait another half hour or something for it to come back again. Now, you think that was embarrassing enough. But, of course, you remember this minibus was going back to the same hotel. So the next morning for breakfast, guess who we were sitting next to? So we had to do the walk of shame, and everyone was, I'm sure, saying, yeah, the English, rude, abusive English people. But it's hard, isn't it? When things like that happen, you get irritated, don't you? It doesn't seem fair. What is fair? Kindness. What about kindness? To be helpful and considerate to the needs of others through our actions and through our speech and through our attitudes. I wonder, would you consider yourself a kind person? Do you consider the needs of others? To be kind means to be other-centered rather than self-centered. To think and to consider the needs of others through our actions, through the things we do, through our speech. You know, I'm amazed at how we speak to one another sometimes. Even in church, even in as we gather together, it amazes me how we speak to, how we speak. You know, in James, he says, you know, we have this little thing in our mouth and it's called a tongue. But it's like a sword, it's like a weapon. And we can use it to speak all kinds of pretty cruel and vile and hateful things over one another. And we do. And Paul said, this little thing, you can use it to bless, or you can use it to curse. Out of the same mouth comes life and comes death. Only on Friday night, I was in the Watchman. It was ministry, and I was meeting someone there. And a young man who is in the community, doesn't come to this church, but I've known him since I've been here. And he has a faith, and he asked to be prayed for. And Daniel, are you here this morning? Just in case you are. But anyway, he's a lovely guy, and but he's got a lot of issues. And he came to me and started talking to me, and just sharing some of the issues, and I said to him, I'm really sorry, I'm going to pray for you again, but I just want to encourage you, you know, you're actually looking really good, because sometimes because of his problems, he looks rather unkempt, but he was looking really good, he was, you know, neat and tidy, and I said, I think you're looking really good, and he went, oh, thank you, that's really good. He said, you're looking really old, and really tired, and I went, oh, thanks, Daniel. And fortunately, he didn't say something else. But 2 weeks earlier, we'd been to this 50th birthday celebration down in Red Hill. And Kate and I have met a couple who we hadn't seen for about 20 years. And his first comment to me, and I've had these a few recently, is, what's happened to you? And I know what he meant, because I've had so many in recent years. And so I just said straight away, it's called hair loss, and it's called weight gain, and glasses, and things like that. But, I mean, I'm just teasing, I'm joking there, but actually some of the things that come out of our mouth are not helpful, and they're certainly not kind. And the way that we speak is so important, isn't it? What about goodness? Goodness is having suitable or desirable qualities, well-behaved, not troublesome, but pleasing, commendable, competent. This morning, would you say you're a good person? Say you're a good person? Who's anyone not a good person? The reality is, every single one of us is in the same boat when it comes to this. We're all fallen, broken, messed up people, to be honest. Some of us are messed up a bit more than others, but, you know, I have a reason for that. But it's true. We're all in the same boat, and we all need a Saviour. But when people say to me, but I'm a really good person, I don't need a Saviour, I think, well, whose standards are you looking to? Whose standards are you marking yourself up against when you say you're good? You know, I could say I'm really, really, really good at football compared to my 8-year-old niece. You know, it depends who you're matching yourself up against, isn't it? And when we say, you know, things like, are we good? Well, we may have a measure of goodness, but we can always have more. Because the ceiling isn't capped. Because God is the one who's good. In the scriptures, Paul says to us regularly in Ephesians, he says this, Ephesians chapter 2, Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. In Thessalonians, he says, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to one another. In Colossians, he says this. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. In our hearts, we know that God wants us to live this kind of life, that he wants us to be patient and kind and good and to do good to those around us. But it's not easy, it's challenging. But one of the things I find really helpful for myself is this, that I remind myself how patient and how kind and how good God has been to me. And how also I've experienced it through other people. How patient other people have been and how kind and how good they've been to me. Let me read some verses from Psalm 103. Whenever you struggle with this, you go back to it and say, Lord, just remind me how good you've been to me. Psalm 103, the psalmist says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives your sins and he heals your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and he crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. For he is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. You know, every time that somebody irritates me to the point of view where I just, you know, you struggle with it, I remember just how many times I must have irritated the Lord. How many times, even as a believer, even as a Christian, that I must have disappointed him or upset him. And yet God continues to be gracious to me and forgives me. You remember that time when Peter, who has obviously been really irritated by somebody, goes to Jesus and says, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? And then he says, seven times? Because that was a good holy number in Hebrew terms. Seven times, Lord? He'd probably got it in his mind because he's thinking, yeah, this guy's irritated me six times now, and now the next one is seven, and now, man, it's great, and now I'm going to sort this guy out. And Jesus says to him, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Forgiveness is ongoing. To constantly show grace and patience and forgiveness is something that God does to me. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter says, you know, sometimes we think, Lord, why don't you wrap everything up? Why don't you deal with the evil that's in the world? And if he did, he would be dealing with us as well, of course. In 2 Peter 3:9, he says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. There's another Bible verse, Titus, which says, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but simply because of his mercy. You see, it wasn't because of anything we'd done that Jesus came and saved us. It was all about what he had done. And when we're dealing with some of those issues, it's important that we remind daily. How good and how kind and how patient God has been with us. But also other people around us. I'm sure you could think of many people who have been patient with you. I mean, your pastor for once. I mean, not really. But I can. You've been patient with me. You've been kind to me. You've been good to Kate and I. But I can think of many people over the years who have extended those kind of things to us. And you know, it's so important that we do exercise these things. Why? One, because it blesses people. It encourages them. It makes their day. I was on the bus a couple of weeks back, and it was packed, and a lady got on the bus with some bags, and her Oyster card had run out. So the guy said, "You got a credit card?" And she didn't have a credit card. So he was just about to say to her, "You need to get off." And so I said, "Look, I've got my Oyster card, but I've got a credit card as well." So I just paid for her, and it was just £1.50, that's all. But it made her day. She went, it cost nothing really, but it made her day. It was tiny. But it helped her out. And many people have done things like that, silly, insignificant things we may feel, but they've helped us along our journey, along the way. But also, it also blesses us. In Proverbs it says, a kind man benefits himself. So if we show kindness to people, it benefits us, it comes back to us. Jesus talked about you reap what you sow. But a cruel man, he brings trouble on himself. But there's another reason why that we need to extend these things. It's because as believers, as God's people, we are witnesses to the world. And people are looking at how we live our lives. They're looking at our actions. The first year that I was a Christian, and it's not just the first year, but you're having challenges all the time. But I've been a Christian about a year, and I was working for this building company, plumbing company, selling stuff and doing all kinds of stuff for them. And there was a young man who was worked with me, a couple of years younger than me. I was about 22, he would have been about 20. And I kind of liked him because he was a character, but he did half irritate me. And he irritated me because of his mouth. His mouth was like a motor mouth. It was like he was like the Duracell bunny with his mouth. He would not stop. He was constantly going on and on and on all day. But half of what was coming out of it was just, you know, not very pleasant either. It was quite abusive. It was lots of swearing and sort of blasphemous words and just to irritate me, I think. But the thing that irritated me more than anything was his boasting. This and that, and this and that. And, you know, and I've been a Christian about a year. And on this particular day, we were unloading a lorry full of toilet seats, which is very exciting. And I was on top of the lorry, and came in boxes of 12, and they were quite heavy, and I was putting them down, and he was just going 10 to the dozen. And I got so irritated, I picked up this box and I threw it at his head, toilet seats. And he didn't exactly take too kindly to this. So there was a little bit of handbags at dorm broken up by the warehouse manager. And you know, the first thing he said to me was, guess what the first thing he said to me was? You're supposed to be a Christian. And I said, yeah, but there is a limit. Salvation comes in an instant, but we're working out of our salvation daily. I'm being changed. And this is too much, Lord. But you know, that's exactly what he said to me. You're supposed to be a Christian. And then I felt really guilty. And I felt really bad. You know, and the reality is, people are looking at us. They're looking at the way we live, the way we behave, the way we speak over one another. I wonder this week, who do you need to extend patience to? Maybe it's a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter or a friend or a neighbor or a work colleague or your pastor. A.B. Simpson, great Baptist minister, said this. Beloved, have you ever thought that someday you will not have anything to try you or anyone to irritate you? There will be no opportunity in heaven to learn or to show the spirit of patience, forbearance, and long-suffering. If you are to practice these things, it must be here and it must be now. One day, we're not going to be how to operate or exercise this because there'll be no need to. But in the here and now, in the nitty-gritty of life, this is where God wants us to develop the spirit of patience. And it comes by opening up our lives to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him control, allowing Him to work in us, to change us and to transform us. I wonder this week, who do you need to express kindness to? Alexander McLaren said this, kindness is attractive. If you want to win the world, melt it with kindness. Don't hammer it. You know, even if someone is unkind to us, retaliate in the opposite spirit and be kind. Use a kind word. Who do you need to do good to this week? John Wesley said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you ever you can. Who this week do you need to do good to? It's possible through the power of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your amazing love, your amazing patience, your amazing kindness, your amazing goodness that you have shown towards each one of us. Lord, forgive us when we take that for granted. Forgive us when we just forget how good you are. And Lord, you know our desire is to follow you. Our desire is to become more like you, Jesus. And yet we struggle so much. We struggle with so much. Lord, help us in this instant society, this quick fix society in which we live in, to be patient, to extend patience to those around us, to be patient with one another, to be patient as we wait for you to lead us and guide us, as we wait for the answers to our prayers. Give us patience, Lord, as we deal with problems and pressure and suffering. Holy Spirit, would you help us? Lord, would you enlarge our hearts to be more kind and more generous in spirit to those around us? Lord, help us always just to guard our tongue, to watch what we say, to think before we speak, and that our words would bring life and not death. Our words would bring blessing and not cursing. Even if our words need to be challenging, even if our words need to be strong in a corrective sense, Lord, would you give us love and grace and wisdom alongside that? That the way that we say it, the manner we say it, would not be lost. And Lord, we pray, Father, that you'd help us to do good to those around us this week. Lord, that people would truly stop and say, hey, what makes you different? What makes you different? And we can say, Lord, because we're people who live life in the Spirit, following Jesus. Amen.